Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that you've had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. It's official, though. I want to just throw it out there. We are now in the month of December. The cold has hit, and you can see the Christmas lights are now going out everywhere. I'm that guy that sees some pretty lights driving, and I turn down a neighborhood, and I'm like, oh, look, so pretty. I love it. I think the Christmas lights are great, but I'm going to tell you right now, one thing I hate is the traffic. The traffic always becomes a lot heavier, and let's be honest, there's so much more stress, too. Everyone is stressing out everywhere you look. And it's just rising and rising. And it comes out in the driving as well. But there are many different things that people stress out during this time of year. But one thing that most people stress out about is trying to find that perfect gift. You know what I'm talking about. It's that gift that says, I know who you are. Or it's that gift that is tailored specifically for that person. And so I've actually heard over and over again people say, you know what, gift cards are so impersonal, they're horrible, they're the worst, stop buying gift cards. I'm going to say, I disagree. I love gift cards. I want to say thank you to all those people that have given me gift cards, those people that over October for Pastor Appreciation Month have given me gift cards because they're amazing. When people say, well, where do you want to eat? I'm like, boom, I'm going to Chipotle. Why? Because I got a gift card. You know what else? I got these other ones. We can go to Golden Corral, Skyline. It doesn't matter. Gift cards are amazing, and I love food. So I'm letting you know, I will not be offended if you say, hey, here's a gift card. Okay, so gift cards are wonderful, but the truth is, I understand why people say gift cards are not the best thing. And that's because if I were to give my wife a gift card to Skyline, I'm in trouble. Okay, that's just the truth of it. Because it's not tailored to her. It's not something that is specifically looking at her. And I've had some amazing gifts over the years, and I look at them and I'm like, you do know me. This is so personal. This was meant just for me. But the truth is, we are not supposed to stress about giving gifts. Giving is supposed to be about what God has put on your heart, and that's with everything. It says to do it with love, to do it with good intentions. We should not be worried about, well, did we buy for every single person? We had one year where that was insane, and that question kept coming up. Well, did you buy for this person? Well, what about the mailman? What about that guy that opened the door for you 3 years ago and you said thank you? And I'm like, what is happening? Why do we have to buy for every single person? Because we stress about it. Or we worry about, you know, did we spend enough money? Did I actually put enough into it to say, well, you know what? Is this actually showing them that I care about them? We have this thought process that we have to find this perfect gift. But the truth is that we need to know there is only one perfect gift that you can give. And that's letting them know who Jesus is. Because God has given us this gift, this perfect gift, and it's His Son, Jesus Christ. And with that, you are given these other gifts that surround it. When you know the truth of who Jesus Christ is and He's in your life, you are given hope. You're given the gift of grace. You're given the gift of love. You're given the gift of peace. And most importantly, you are given the gift of everlasting life and a relationship with God. And when you look at that, now that is a gift. Nothing that I've ever given has said all of these things. The most amazing part, though, is how long God has been working on this gift. Because you had those last minute, oh no, we have a party tomorrow, I don't have the gift, so you just grab whatever's there, and you could kind of tell it's last minute. God has been working on this gift since the beginning of time. Through the month of December, we're going to look at Jesus, who is the gift that God gave us. Because Christmas really is that time where we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We say, yes, December 25th is not when He was born, but it's when we're going to celebrate His birth. We need to understand, though, that His birth is not the only thing that we need to celebrate as this gift. We need to understand that his birth was just the beginning of what was to come. It's so important for us to celebrate the birth of Jesus, yes, but he lived here on this earth. He showed us what it is to follow God. We need to celebrate the death that he endured for us, and we need to look at the resurrection of him defeating death and showing us that he's God. And I like to do things a little different than most churches. And actually, we talk about Jesus in chronological order starting in the first week in December. And then on Christmas Eve, that's where we're going to talk about God's gift being made complete through the death of Jesus and his resurrection. Because let's be honest, if they want to hear about Jesus, do we want to just hear about the beginning of the story? Is that what we want to give people? Or do we want to give them what happened at the end that we are given and it shows us that we have salvation and hope and truth and love through Jesus? And that's why on Christmas Eve we will talk about his death and the resurrection. If you didn't know this already, I do want to put this out there. I want to let you know that this book right here, this Bible, it's an amazing thing. And one thing that is amazing about the Bible as a whole is that it connects together. So everything in the Old Testament, it flows right into the New Testament and it becomes this one amazing story. And I think sometimes we kind of disconnect that they're actually connected together. The beauty of God's perfect gift actually starts before the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about where Jesus was born, like right before that with Joseph and Mary. I'm talking about way before that. I'm talking hundreds to thousands of years before Jesus was born. He was already working on this. When you go through the Old Testament, we know that God was planning and working on this since the creation of time. You can look in Genesis where it talks about Jesus was there, that this plan was there. There are verses that just talk all about what is to come and how we will need a Savior. And I want to look at some of these verses that give some very specific details that you cannot deny that God was planning this perfect gift. So today we're going to look at a few passages out of the Old Testament that are from prophets. So a prophet is someone who was sent by God to portray this message that God wanted to give. Someone who is speaking for God, and they would sometimes foretell the future of what's going to come. They would give truth and warnings from God to the people. So these prophets were men who had a direct line to God, and they would speak to the people about what God is telling them to speak to these people. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, they were not very liked. There were a lot of them that had a lot of troubles and people looked down on them and they were mad at them because nobody wants to hear that God is telling you you're doing this wrong or you need to change this. It's not always something the group of masses want to hear, but they went out there and they spoke the truth anyways. But I'm going to let you know, we are going to skip around through a couple of the Old Testament verses here. And so we're going to go and look at three different verses. We're actually going to start in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. And so from the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you do not have a Bible, we have some in the rows for anyone that wants to follow along. If you do not own a Bible, please take one. It's yours. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. If you're watching online and you're saying, yes, I need a Bible, or I want a Bible, we will get a Bible to you. Doesn't matter if you're watching it live or if you're watching it later. Just let us know. And we're going to read Isaiah 7:14, and we're going to read these different prophecies that were being told here and what they mean. So Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So when you look at these verses and you just read that piece and you're like, okay, that's an interesting piece of information that we're getting out of the Old Testament, but we need to understand exactly what's happening around this time, why Isaiah wrote what he wrote. So right now, Isaiah is in a time of war. So they are fighting in different kingdoms. Israel is struggling and they're having these problems. And so what is happening is Isaiah saying, this is from God, letting you know that a virgin will have a son and you will call him Emmanuel. You have to remember that this was written over 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ.
700 years.
And so there has actually been some argument that Isaiah here, he was actually talking about a different boy that will be conceived from a virgin woman or this young woman, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the truth is, you can say, sure, but I don't remember reading anything. And they're looking through the timelines, and 700 years after, there was not a virgin birth with someone named Emmanuel. But when you look at the name Jesus, it actually means Yahweh saves. Jesus actually means Savior. Jesus means Jehovah is our Savior. And when it comes to names, it all had to do with the meaning. Emmanuel means God with us, and Jesus means Jehovah, God, is our Savior. So they do mean the same thing. But sure, maybe you can look at these verses and say, yeah, well, you know what? Sure, we can say that's about something else. Maybe it's not about Jesus. So we're going to go to another one. We're going to go to Hosea 11:1. Hosea 11:1. I know that I'm giving you some hard ones. If you're like, wow, I don't remember the last time I flipped through Hosea. I understand, but we're going to Hosea 11:1. I'll give you a couple extra seconds to find it if you're looking for it in the Bible there. It was funny because I was actually reading through these different verses, and I kind of was going through, because I like to go contextually and I like to read the whole chapter that comes after it. I like to read the whole chapter before it, and I'm like, I don't remember a lot of this. This is a lot of information that I need to be consuming more of. But Hosea 11:1, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. And so you're looking at these verses, and again, this was written over 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And what this chapter is talking about, it's all about God's love for Israel, God's love for his people. And some people say this is not about Jesus either, but this is about how God and his people were pulled out of Egypt. And you can read it out of Exodus, and they talk all about how Moses came, and you had the Pharaoh, and you had all the plagues and all those things that were happening. And what happened was God delivered them out of Egypt. And that's what he's referring to here. But what happened is, you can read the word that my son was called out of Egypt. He talks about Israel before, but he then says specifically, it's my son that we're talking about that's coming out of Egypt. And you're looking at this and going, okay, so again, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, maybe he was talking about something else. Maybe it wasn't Jesus that he was referring to. So we're going to go to one more. We're going to turn to Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2. It's a couple pages over. There are some really fun names in this one. So good luck with fingerspelling. And also, hopefully I don't butcher the name itself. But Micah 5:2. And we're going to read exactly what this says. It says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So this one is very specific here. It's talking about Bethlehem, specifically that town. And it's talking about the clans of Judah. And it's talking about the lineage of King David, which we know Jesus came from that line of people. It's clearly calling out this tiny, insignificant group of Israelites. What's going to happen is that this ruler over all of Israel is going to come from this place. Again, this is another one that's written well over 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't heard a lot of counter arguments that this is about anything other than the Messiah and Savior, because it's very specific on what it's talking about. But you look at these different verses and you can say, okay, that's an interesting group of verses that you've pulled out. I see what you're trying to say here. And yeah, we can connect them. But I want to tell you that in the New Testament, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, it's all brought together. And we're actually going to read those verses. Matthew 1 is where we're going. Matthew 1, We're going to read 18, Matthew 1, 18, through chapter 2, verse 15. And I was talking to my wife as I'm writing this all up, and I said, there is a lot of verses that I'm going to be throwing out today. And she was kind of like, you are preaching. And I'm like, fair, okay. Yeah, that's true. It's probably a good thing to throw more verses and less of me. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 2, chapter 2, verses 15. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I don't know if you caught that, but in that reading, the retelling of Jesus' birth and all the things that were to happen, it summed up every single prophecy that we talked about today. And you may try and say, well, you know what? These are all coincidences. Well, let's really look at this objectively, what this means. These prophecies were written over 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And these were from men that were respected and told that they were the ones that were speaking God's words to the people. Why is it out of the question that God was talking to them 700 years before Jesus was even born? It's God. We have to know that he knows it all. He has a plan for it all. He is all powerful. And this is just a few of the prophecies that we are reading right here that were fulfilled. There were so many more. It just keeps going one after another. You keep reading in the Old Testament all these different things that say, this is what's going to happen when the Messiah comes. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. This is who it will be. And they all came true. So I read a really interesting idea of what this would look like if we did a hypothetical of today. And so somebody wrote this up and they were like, okay, so if we take everything that happened in these prophecies up to where Jesus was born, what if we tried to make it more real in our lives today and what that would look like? So this is what it said. Imagine that in Waco, Texas, ancient scrolls are uncovered which were written 600 to 1,000 years ago from today. So some were written before the discovery of America by Columbus, and all of them were written before the American Revolution even happened. The scrolls then predict that someone in our generation will be born who is of the direct lineage of George Washington. This person would be descended from a long line of important founders of America, all of whom were from Virginia. The scrolls further reveal that the person that we're talking about here was born in Tarrant County, Texas, in the town of Azle. Miraculously, his mother would be a virgin. At the time of his birth, dignitaries from other countries would mysteriously know about him and would come to worship him and present him with precious gifts, believing he was a special envoy from God. In addition, in our imaginary prophecies, it would also reveal that as a result of this child being born, local ruling tyrants would try to murder him. This would result in the deaths of many other innocent children whose mothers would weep over their loss. It was to protect this special child from the tyrants. His father would take him to another country, later bringing him back, and this future child would grow up to lead a religious revolution. Imagine if that were all to come true today, if we were dealing with this. We had these documents that were in hand that were written so many years before, and it would be impossible for us to deny the signs of what is going on here. I think a lot of us would say, well, this is it. It's over. This is end times. We're seeing some crazy things. And that's what they were dealing with. You had some of the Jews that said, this is amazing, and this has to be true because we believe in the Bible. We know that these prophets were speaking from God, so this has to be the Messiah. Others are saying, no way, because this was written so long ago. This is about something else. We don't even need to listen to this. And then you had others that were saying, it's over, man. There's no way. This has got to be the end of the world. The truth is, we look at these prophecies, and we can see God's perfect plan. So the big question is, how can all of this be? Because we have to understand that we serve a God that transcends time. We serve a God that is literally all-powerful and all-knowing. We serve a God that knows that we would need salvation today in 2022. We have a God that loves us so much that he has been planning to save us from ourselves since the beginning of time. As we go through the month of December, we have to take a really close look at some of the things Jesus did in this life. Because Jesus' life, his death, his birth, the prophecies, everything is an amazing gift that's been given to all of us. We have to be the ones to go out there and live it and share it and know that this is truth. But you have to read it. And that's what brings my challenge to you this week, because it's a simple one. It really is. Get in your Bibles. Get into God's Word. Read His words. This is an amazing book. They call it the Living Word of God. Why do they call it the Living Word of God? Because those verses that you've read so many times, God is going to speak to you through them in a different way. Actually, with some of the verses we went over today from Matthew, I had somebody say, I've heard those verses 100 different times. I never realized the connection of the Old Testament and New Testament and what it really looks like. It's because it's the living word. It is truth. It is life-changing. I want to let you know, if you're not reading this, you have no idea what you're truly missing. You have no idea the things that God wants to show you and talk to you and teach you. So my challenge to you is read this book. If you're asking, where do I start? Start in the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn about who Jesus is. Learn about what he did. And then if you're saying, I need application, where do I go with that? I want you to go to the book of James. You're not going to like the book of James, okay? I'm going to throw that out right now. James sells it just like it is. He says, you're doing these things, stop it. You need to do these things, they'll be good for you. And it will speak directly into your life. Go through the Gospels and start with James if you're looking for a place to start. This is the time of year where many are willing to hear about Jesus Christ. I want you to invite people to church to hear about this perfect gift that God has given us. But more importantly, I want you to teach them about God's truth. I want you to show them the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ. I want you to show them God's perfect gift is right here. It's free. God's grace will save you. You have to accept it, take it. And that's the gift we should be giving all month long in December and then after. But if you're looking for that perfect gift, that's the one you need to give. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your words, your book, your truth. You had this all planned out from the beginning. You knew from the creation of everything, that we were going to need help, that we were going to need saved, that we were going to need your son. You gave us the Old Testament prophecy saying, this is what's going to happen. And it makes it so much more relatable. It makes it so much more obvious to us that, yes, this is true. You called it. You said it was going to happen this way, and it did. I pray that we can go out there and share this truth of Jesus Christ, that we can change lives, that we can give this perfect gift known as your son, Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.